You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Really, really looking forward to a big night in sports in the state of Wisconsin. To talk more about the Packers side of things, let's bring him in. Let's call Paul.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Green and gold analyst Paul Immig now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Good day to you, Paul.
Hey, Bill, man. Just looking forward to a fun night of sports.
It is going to be exciting. Now, I would assume you're sitting at the Palatial Estate with multiple TVs turned into multiple things.
Indeed, yes. It will be a back and forth. Hey, Brewers get full attention until about 7:15. And then, you know, Bill, I might pull one of those moves where, like, I just turn off Twitter for the next couple hours, put one of them on DVR, and, like, watch it, quote-unquote, live, so I don't have to watch it, like, interrupted. So that might be my go-to move tonight between like 7:30 and 10.
It is exciting night. I it's a must win really kind of for both. And I know for one reason you don't want to go down two games to one to the Dodgers who are at home, and then for the Green Bay Packers, you got to get a win, go to the bye week, self-scout, and then come out swinging because you have got a gauntlet to run. Four of the next five after that are going to be on the road. So talking Packers football, what do you need to see tonight that is going to make you feel better about where this team is?
You know, tonight, Bill, I think for the players to feel really good about it into the bye week, for the coaching staff, for the fans, I think tonight needs to be an all-out butt whooping. Don't you think? I think if they're going to – a win is a win, and it's tough to win in the NFL no matter who you play, no matter what the circumstances are. But a squeak by win on Monday Night Football going into a bye against obviously inferior opponent, I don't think a squeak by win would really convince these players of much of anything, that they are a team to be taken very seriously in the NFC this year. I think this needs to be a game where, you know, they really take it to San Francisco and let themselves go into the bye week feeling better, because it's not just what you said about the post-bye schedule. They go coast to coast, from L.A. against the Rams, who are maybe the best team in football right now, and then you head out, then you head out east all the way to New England. So it's going to be a heck of a stretch. And if you can't get right at home against San Francisco, I don't know when you get right. But there's so many moments in an NFL season where you have to say, this is a pivotal moment. But this is a pivotal moment. It really is, because this is a swing game for the Packers. If they come out and really take it to San Francisco, I think they can feel good about it and give themselves a chance to come back and face that really difficult schedule. And again, it's not like the NFC is tearing things up. Yeah, the Rams are 6-0, but if they go to 3-2-1 tonight, it's like Chicago's 3-2 and Minnesota 3-2-1 and Detroit 2-4. It's not like anybody's running away with this thing. So this is a really pivotal swing game, I think, in their season.
Looking at the offense, and we were talking about this earlier, I want to see Aaron Rodgers just kind of get out, do his thing, get this thing into a rhythm, punch it into the end zone. I want to see him end up, hopefully Deshaun Kizer can play the entire fourth quarter and begin to rest that knee up a little bit more. One of the other things that I think a lot of people talk about is I want to see Mason Crosby. I want to see them kind of get back to, I want to see them get back to what it is he was doing prior to all the controversy, we'll say. They need this. They need to be able to get back into sync.
Yeah, they do. I mean, let's start with the Rodgers thing. I mean, that's kind of what I'm talking about. If they can really take a big lead early, you'd love to watch Deshaun Kizer play the fourth quarter tonight, because it means you're up plenty, and it means that you can rest Rodgers. To your point about Rodgers getting out and really going, and being really super effective, like he's obviously capable of doing. Yeah, but, the re-injury that happened against Detroit, I think, is, obviously one of the top five things to watch in this game is, does he look more – first off, does he have to wear the bigger brace again, right? Mm-hmm. Because he had just gotten down to the smaller brace against Detroit, suffers the re-injury in the first quarter, and, now it's like, how big of a brace is he going to have to play with? And I know even earlier this week, well, I guess over the weekend technically, they were still debating that topic. So, you know, that would be really interesting. And if it is a big three, does the offense become simplified again, kind of like it was going back a few weeks, and how effective can he be if he's flushed out of the pocket? So the Mason Crosby thing, Bill, yeah, like, you know, you heard Ron Zook's comments this week, and, you know, it's, yeah, Mason Crosby might be a little bit more zoned in, but that's the benefit of having a kicker of his veteran experience and with his track record of success. The last time that Mason Crosby had that bad of a night was, unless I'm forgetting something, family night circa 2012, 2013? What year was that, Bill? That, you know, he went one.
It was family night. I didn't even care.
It
was family night.
But, you know, that was like the last time he was truly, I think, mentally tested. I mean, I remember talking to him, you know, after that game, scrimmage, family night, call it what you want. But, you know, that was like the last time he was truly, and that kind of brought about the whole Giorgio Tavecchio experiment and giving someone for Mason Crosby to really challenge against. You know, he's been solid ever since then. So, you know, unless Mason Crosby turned 50 years old overnight, I don't think he became bad all of a sudden. You know, he's going to have to bounce back, though, and it'll be interesting to see. You know, when the first couple drives of the game, 49-yard field goal attempt, does McCarthy send him out there, right? Or does he say, you know what, I want to give him a chip shot first just to kind of get right and let him see something go through the uprights? And I think that'll be really interesting to see how McCarthy handles that.
Do you, going to the defensive side of the football, what concerned you, if anything, about the 49ers coming into this game, by the way?
Well, no, I mean, not a heck of a lot. I mean, this is a game, though, where, you know, do the Packers come out and make San Francisco look like Buffalo did here? And I obviously, you know, whether this game is, you know, a decisive win, a close win, or somehow a loss, you know, and you can go back to that Buffalo game and some of the post-game comments from guys like Tremont Williams, that it felt good. You know, that was a feel-good day for them. And I think they knew that that's what they had to do against an opponent like Buffalo. Now, not necessarily saying giving up 0 points, because, you know, that is a very rare, difficult feat. But to make the San Francisco offense look as inept, I think, is what they made Buffalo's offense look like a few weeks ago. If that happens, you know, then you can worry a little bit less about what the offense for the Packers looks like. You can worry a little bit less about Mason Crosby and a little bit less about Aaron Jones' snaps, which for me is still a top five thing to watch tonight. There's nothing that should, you know, really strike fear into any defense right now. And I think you saw that the last time the 49ers played, you know, against Arizona Cardinals. So, you know, this is one of those things, though, where you're about to go into a bye week. The players are about to get their week off. And, you know, the word trap game comes to mind, you know. And so it's not as much about, like, the opponent you're facing or the quarterback or the offensive coordinator and what type of schemes they're going to run. It's more about, I think, you know, one of those, like, deep down gut check things for every player. You know, how much do they come out and just say, this is not going to be something we take lightly. We're not going to let ourselves fall into the trap of, hey, we're about to go on vacation on a tropical island for the next few days and get away from football. They need to buckle down and obviously take care of business. So, yeah, there's nothing particular that makes me say, wow, they have to watch out for this. This is the thing that could beat them. I think the Packers would have to beat themselves. And that's sometimes a scary proposition at a pivotal point in the season like this.
I am also anxious to see, you know, obviously you've got the knee injury with Brian Bulaga, who's limited and questionable this week. But yeah, to get Randall Cobb back, to get Geronimo Allison cleared and get him back on the football field. You've got Kevin King with the chin. He's a full participant this week. He should be back. Jair Alexander, he's questionable, but you're kind of hoping he comes back. You're kind of starting to get, if you can get through tonight's game kind of unscathed and you start to get everybody back, I'm going to start to feel a lot better about this team, or at least the prospect on paper of what this team is supposed to look like.
Yeah, I mean, to your point about with Kevin King and Jair Alexander, it seems like right when King came back, Jair Alexander was hurt and not able to play. They haven't had that truly full complement. And really, ever since they signed Rashad Breeland, he hasn't been able to play either. Mm-hmm. So they haven't had the full complement of what they thought they would back there. I think the Bulaga thing is, you know, anytime you're talking about Brian Bulaga and injuries, you know, you have to, especially in the legs, you know, something that he's had problems with and missed a lot of games throughout the years, you have to kind of be like, okay, you know, maybe you be cautious with that. But it doesn't make it any easier when Jason Spriggs is dealing with, you know, as you had mentioned, his own injury. So that's something certainly to watch. But you're right. I mean, the wide receiver situation, I think with, you know, if the Packers get healthy here at some point, and I mean that both in terms of the players' health and in terms of looking like a good team again, you might be able to look back and say, okay, you know, and again, this is assuming that they get through these murky waters right now, which it's, you know, it's been an interesting start. But if you can look back and you can say, you know what, it sure was good to see what Equanimeous St. Brown was able to give us, right? And it sure was good to be able to see what, you know, somebody like who could step up. And I think really St. Brown certainly did that to different levels. Mark Eswald and Scantling did that at different games. And, you know, there's a pretty clear reason why Jamon Moore is behind those guys at the wide receiver position. But the more that's like, you don't want Randall Cobb to miss multiple games. You didn't want Jerome Allison to miss. You didn't want to have to go into Detroit giving Equanimeous St. Brown, you know, the fifth game in his career as a rookie. You didn't want to give this sixth round pick 80% of the snaps like you had to. But he played well. And, you know, if it ends up in the long run making your depth chart look that much better and giving Aaron Rodgers some confidence in these guys, which I assume Rodgers did truly in his heart of hearts gain with St. Brown and with MVS, you know, it makes the depth chart look better. But again, it's certainly a long shot between those guys, rookies who are just kind of finding their footing in the NFL versus getting Randall Cobb back. And even though Jerome Allison is still a young player and was undrafted, he is, you know, as it was described this week by Devonta Adams, Jerome Allison is a very good player, a very good route runner who I think has not even started to touch his potential, which is a crazy thing to say for a guy who's come as far as he has in such a short amount of time while being an undrafted player. Most of the time, 99% of the time, wide receivers aren't drafted because they're not good. Every once in a while, a Jerome Allison slips through the cracks, and it sure seems like, you know, if this isn't his breakout year, that he's close to it, I think, as long as he stays healthy. And, you know, if Rodgers does have this full complement back tonight of pass catchers, maybe that's what helps get them, you know, the 35-plus points that they need to maybe start feeling really good about themselves again.
Paul, always good. We'll chat again later in the week, okay?
All right, Bill. Enjoy the night. We'll talk soon.
Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.